Hello and welcome to Sri Lanka 99.94 Cricket Every Day. My name is Mark Machado from Murrayfield End, and I'm joined as always by Estelle Vasudevan from the Papere, who is still in Australia. Sri Lanka 99.94 is your new home for Sri Lankan content. We'll be dropping into your podcast feed on YouTube or the 99.94 app several times every week. So please do rate, review, subscribe. Thank you for joining Cricket's conversation. Estelle, this is our kind of, I suppose, the wash-up episode from the back end of Sri Lanka's T20 World Cup. Sadly, you know, we mentioned this at the end of, at the beginning of our T20 review, that one of our Sri Lanka squad, Dinushka Gunatilaka, has been arrested and has been charged. He hasn't been granted bail. Our kind of plan is to do, you know, to kind of keep you guys as Sri Lanka fans, give you guys an update on what exactly is going on, why it's going on. And we'll also let you know why we can't actually really talk about the case at the moment. But before we do that, though, Estelle, you're in Adelaide at the moment, getting ready for the semi-final and finals, right? All the teams that you've sworn any sort of allegiance to over the years,
all gone.
Are knocked all out. Gone. So, all gone. What are you hoping for the next couple of games?
I don't know. I'm just hoping for a good experience. England, India will be the semi final that I'll be covering. Not my, you know, preferred sides, but just hoping for a really good game. And I will, of course, be completely neutral because, like I said, they're not, you know, neither one is one of my, you know, favorite sides. Final, I don't know. Let's see. I want it to be good, but I don't want it to be 2019 World Cup final, nerve-wracking.
Good.
Don't go there.
No. I like that ending. I thought it was good. That's a good way to end the tournament.
That's because you live in England.
Yeah, I know, but I just like super overs. They're the best. I thought we were going to get a super over against England, actually, the other day.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that Sri Lanka game looked to me like, oh, this has got super over written all over it. But
we haven't had any sadly, of this World Cup, have we?
No.
So.
No, not yet. Not yet. There's still plenty of time to go. Anyway, let's get back to Sri Lanka, right? So it was quite a grisly ending for us. I think the first thing we need to do is we need to explain what contempt of court is. And I've also got to explain that I am just assuming that in Australia they have the same laws around criminal cases as they do in England, which means that when a case, and definitely from a lot of the tweets and a lot of the comments I see being made by Sri Lanka fans, I think this needs to be said, that when a case is active... and I also assume this is probably the case in Sri Lanka as well. I don't know, Estelle will tell me, you can't comment on the actual case. I can't tell you, we can't publicly say what we think about things. And I say we, I mean everyone can't publicly state what they think about things because you risk the trial collapsing by prejudicing the jury. And also, in this case, you want there to be a fair trial for both sides, right? Which is why if you come here for any hot takes of what we think's happened or any, you know, let's be honest, the Sri Lankan WhatsApp universe is alive and well with rumours and hearsay of what may have happened. We're not going to report any of that. We're just trying to give you the straight facts. And I don't know, maybe at some point down the road when the trial is done, we might be able to kind of dissect it a little bit more, right? Where we're at now, Estelle, is Dinushka was arrested. He wasn't granted bail. That was on Monday morning Australia time, I think. And so now he is in a jail in New South Wales somewhere. I don't know where exactly. And now we're waiting for this to go to court. The latest is that SLC have said they will, at least initially, fit the charges for the legal bills. I know there's been some outrage about that and about how they can afford to do that. Their kind of argument appears to be that, you know, he was over there in an official capacity, and because of that, they've kind of got the duty of care, right? But I think they're planning to, at some point, if they can, recoup the fees from him, right? And I can kind of see, you know, we can talk about whether or not they should be doing that, and I can kind of see why that decision was being made. Obviously, I don't think it's a particularly great look for them, but it is what it is at this stage, right? And the other thing that SLC have done is they've appointed a 3-person disciplinary committee to look into the disciplinary issues around the group at this World Cup, and they've obviously banned the player who's been arrested from playing, though that is neither here nor there, because it's very hard for him to turn up at a game when he's not even in the country, when the next 3 games are going to be in Sri Lanka, right? I think, Estelle, that factually is where we're at the moment, right? So it's, at the moment, it's just a case of waiting for this all to kind of play out. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think Sri Lanka Cricket have agreed to foot the bill for the time being, at least. Like you said, you know, citing the fact that he was there on official business, he was with the Sri Lanka national side. But they've also, according to ESPN's Andrew Fidel Fernando, they've also indicated that they are looking to kind of recover that money either through wages or get him to pay them back, depending on which way the trial goes. So I don't know. Like you said, it's not a very good look on Sri Lanka cricket, but you can also understand what the thinking behind it is. Apart from that, yeah, the disciplinary committee is going to look into a few other incidents that have been reported. I don't know, like you said, you know, I don't think we're in the best position to kind of comment on rumors like that. But they will be looking into certain incidents that have apparently happened, and then give a kind of a recommendation like they did after the Durham incident. Hopefully Sri Lanka cricket this time will take the recommendation. They didn't last time. So we'll have to see how it pans out. From what I heard, the case is expected to go to court only in January. So there's just, like, you know, over 1.5 months to go for it to, you know, actually go to court and for something conclusive to happen. So we don't know what will happen in between that time. We don't want to give our opinions right now, or at least I don't want to.
Well, obviously we don't really have an opinion. Until all the truth comes out, we don't know what to say, so, right?
We'll have to wait and see. I know a lot of people have been asking me about it as well, and when we'll be recording something on the incident. But just sticking to what we know right now, know for sure, is the best way to go forward.
Yeah, and let justice take its course. There's a few other bits of Sri Lankan news that we need to talk about. So we'll take a quick break there, and let's talk about the T20 rankings when we get back.
You're listening to Cricket's Conversation on 99.94. Whatever your team, we have the show for you on podcast, YouTube, or on the 99.94 app. We have India, England, South Africa, West Indies, and now Sri Lanka covered. If you want to find us, the best way is to follow us on social media at 9994DM by downloading the 9994 app or Google 99.94 on podcast. We speak cricket.
So Estelle, in more kind of positive news, Hasaranga is back at the T20i, top of the T20i bowling rankings at the moment. He's the number one bowler in the world. I'll be honest, I'm not entirely sure he's had the best T20 tournament. But he gets his wickets, and he's back at the top. I suppose there's two kind of mitigating things. Firstly, he kind of needs to buy his wickets a little bit, and he very rarely had those runs to play with. And so it kind of felt, I suppose, during the games that maybe he was a little bit expensive. And secondly, I mean, Australia's probably the worst place for him in terms of pitches to bowl on, right?
Yeah, I feel like you're right. He didn't have the kind of runs to kind of, you know, really get into his stride. But I don't necessarily think tracks like Australia don't suit him. I find that it might be a matter of just him playing a few more games in these conditions and kind of adjusting his lengths a bit. That was one area we saw when he did go for a lot of runs against Australia, where he wasn't really able to find the right length. He was either way too full or way too short. I also think he wasn't at his best during this World Cup. It didn't seem like it was. And again, like, this is not an excuse, but I think the injuries to the other bowlers may have contributed to that. We spoke about how the kind of the roles of Teekshana and Hasaranga had to change a little bit with the two, you know, first choice fast bowlers being ruled out so early in the tournament. So then you have someone like Hasaranga trying to play the wicket taker plus, you know, also not give away too many runs. He is generally a very economical bowler. So he does that anyway, but I feel like he may have felt that kind of added responsibility where he needed to also not give away too many runs. So it's really great to see him at the top of the rankings, but I do think that I'm not entirely sure about the ranking system, not in his case, but in general, because I feel it does give a lot of value to wickets, and I know that's important, but maybe context, things like that also matter. So
yeah.
It's great for him, and he's shown once again that he's certainly amongst the top bowlers in the world, whether you consider him the best in the world or not. He is amongst those top bowlers, amongst the top leg spinners in the world. So he's now, the ranking also kind of reflects that.
Teekshana is at 10 in the rankings. Actually, if you look at the ratings points, so the point system that they use, Teekshana is 10th, but he's only about 50 points behind Hasaranga. So there's not a huge amount of difference in terms of, you know, that's I don't know exactly how the point system works, but I think that's basically just the volume of wickets that Hasaranga's got is the difference between them. So I think, you know, that bodes well. I mean, I actually think Teekshana probably deserves, if Hasaranga's first, and I'm not saying anything that I'm not suggesting he isn't the best T20 bowler in the world. I think Teekshana's probably not 9 places behind him. I think he's probably 3 or 4 at most behind him.
Yeah.
But I am biased.
Some of his numbers from the World Cup in like the phases he's bowled, etc. The only thing with the difference between the two is that Hasaranga tends to get more wickets, but I do think Teekshana bowls in tougher situations. He is used in every game in the power play for at least one over. And he is used in every game between the 15th and the 20th over. So he does bowl in tougher phases of play, I would say, in comparison to Hasaranga. Hasaranga also did bowl in the death in the last couple of games. And I think that kind of worked in his favor, where he picked up a few wickets. But you're right, I don't think Teekshana is that far behind. I just think that the roles they play for Sri Lanka are so different, and it works so well because both of them are kind of invested in those roles and not trying to do... Like, Teekshana is not going in there trying to bowl like Hasaranga and get like 3 wickets every over or whatever. He is looking more at, you know, keeping runs down, putting that pressure on from one end, and then, you know, the other guys are reaping the rewards from the other side. So just the pair of them, I think, work really well. And Teekshana, in my opinion, I think I said this before and you shot me down, but I still do think that people are kind of sleeping on him, that they don't kind of see the value he has for Sri Lanka, because like I said, he's bowling in the toughest periods of the game regularly, and he's still, I think his economy is less than 6.5, something like that. So definitely not as far as, I mean, 9 places behind Hazaranga. But I don't think they should take this. I mean, celebrate, of course, that you're number 1 or number 10 or whatever. But, you know, I don't think it should, you know, you should base your value on that, because obviously both of them are invaluable to Sri Lanka cricket.
And I'd like to look at data before we move on. I'd like to look at some data about how, what exactly happens when Hazaranga bowls his, what we call the snake ball, what Indians call the Nagin ball, and what Australian commentators call the collapser. The collapser is the worst name. That's what they were calling it on the commentary.
When they first, when he first bowled it, that was during Sri Lanka's bilateral against Australia, and I think Shane Warne called it the Undertaker. And that's...
Oh, did he? The Undertaker
He called it...
That's a good...
You like that? And then Russell Arnold like, no, let's call it the Garandia, which is like rat snake.
Oh, okay. I like snake ball.
Okay.
Like, but really, like, every ball Tikshana bowls is like a cobra ball, right? Because he gets it so, like... I don't know why I'm doing the action. because he's so kind of straight on for you, right? Where... but I'm interested to see how the snake Hazaranga snake ball develops, because sometimes he bowls it and I think it's a case of the batsman wasn't expecting it. But I thought against Australia, where he bowled loads of them, I don't think it was doing it. It was neither here nor there. I think once they realised it was coming, they were all right playing it.
Yeah, I'm curious to know, the angle is different, but is it doing anything, you know, different to what, like, because I don't feel like it's that, like, it hasn't been that effective, has it? It's just been a small variation.
No, to me, it just feels like a slow Yorker, right? And that's what I mean. I think it's only effective when they don't realise it's coming. Yeah? And then, because there was one over against Australia where I think he bowled 3 in an over, the last 3 balls, and the first one was effective. So obviously he does it again, and then they were kind of like, all right, I'm used to this. I think they got like a run off it. And then the third one, I think they hit a boundary off it. I think that's what happened. So you're like, well, I don't know. but it does, I think it does look quite cool to bowl. So I'm not suggesting you shouldn't bowl them
anymore. Yeah, it looks cool.
And also, it looks cool, which is the most important thing, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I back him to develop it into something that will be a wicket-taking ball. Or at least, something that develops. A dot ball is almost as valuable as a wicket-taking ball in T20 cricket sometimes. So if that works, then let's do it. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's look ahead to what the rest of the month might look like for Sri Lanka.
If you love the language of cricket and want more, then head over to the 99.94 app and you can hear all of our podcasts and cricket commentary. We're adding new shows all the time and covering cricket series from all over the world. Be the first to hear all of our announcements by following us on social media at 99.94DM. Welcome to Cricket's Conversation.
So Estelle, I think now that this T20 World Cup is over, the focus turns to 50 over format. There's a World Cup next year. As it stands, Sri Lanka are at risk of having to go out to, I think it's Zimbabwe, to qualify to the qualifying tournament, which will be in June or July. I can't remember when it is. To make sure that doesn't happen, they've just got to beat Afghanistan 3 times at home, right? And that is in later this month. I think that tour starts on, I think it's the 25th of November. And they've just got to get those maximum points to get as high up the ODI table as possible. We know 2 things if you listen to this podcast regularly. Firstly, that I am terrible at working the time out, and secondly, I'm terrible at maths, which I suppose is both the same point, which also means that I can't figure out, like, if they get 30 points, which is the maximum they can get, whether that guarantees...
I don't think so.
They No, I don't think so either. I think they're relying on other results as well, right?
Yeah. I don't think they'll be guaranteed a spot in the World Cup even with 3 wins. We should have researched this, Mark.
No, because I've been trying to. Have you not seen how many times I've got in Twitter conversations with other Either 99.94 hosts or other people just go, no, because I Estelle, if it comes to like any sort of maths and cricket, I just can't do it. I just cannot do it. I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, I think I need to go on some sort of online course or something.
I think Sri Lanka in 10th place and 8 go through. Obviously South Africa skipped or are skipping their tour of Australia. So they
that's just off.
Yeah,
isn't
they
it?
Will likely just go straight into the qualifiers as well. But I mean, if we've learned anything through the qualifiers of the T20 World Cups in the last couple of years, is that, at least for me, my takeaway has been that it can be good, it can be a good thing, which it was last year. But this year, I don't think it was that good for their confidence. Losing that first game to Namibia, that was kind of the theme right throughout the tournament, if you look at it, right? That loss of intensity, you know, that the inability to kind of close games out, all of that we saw right throughout the tournament. So it can be good, but it also can really go wrong for you.
I think what we need to do, focus on winning these next three games. Try not to, because the other thing to note is that the qualifiers aren't happening as the tournament, you know, it's not the first stage, the initial stage of the tournament. They happen a few months before the tournament. So we can't rely on this whole, let's go to the qualifiers, build some momentum up and get through. It's a potential banana skin. Also, it's not been held in Asia as well, the qualifiers. So again, we don't have the benefits of, you know, being on spin friendly pitches. Mm. So let's try and win these three games against Afghanistan. We've definitely got it in us to do it and get to the World Cup. That's got to be the plan. I look at this side and I think, really, this team is probably better equipped to play 50-over cricket than they are 20-over
cricket.
Do you
see any changes coming through?
Well, there's been a lot of talk online about possibly bringing Angelo Matthews back. And, you know, he's one of my favourites, Estelle. I think, you know, he's a player. He's been very unlucky with injuries and maybe fallen out with members of the board at the wrong moments. I think, you know, he could be... I don't think Sri Lanka need to bring someone in as a kind of calming presence and older head. I actually think we're probably a bit more mature than the squad, you know, than the average age of the squad is. But I do think particularly, you know, if the tournament's in India, I think he could be a good addition to the side. The also, you know, there's almost no point talking about what our seam attack will be because who knows, he'll be fit.
Yeah, I was going to say, even for the games against Afghanistan, okay, Lahir Kumar was good during the World Cup. Kasun Rajitha was pretty decent. But can they bowl 10 overs? That's going to be the big question,
that's
right?
The question.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if they might look to bring in Asita Fernando or someone like that who might be, you know, a bit further down the line in fitness. I can't imagine any of the boys who had to drop out of the T20 squad because of fitness will be ready to play and bowl 10 overs in what, 2 weeks now, 3 weeks away. And the other two players, and this is long term, who are going to cause some sort of selection issues are going to be Kissel Pereira and Avishka Fernando as well. I think Avishka Fernando particularly in 50 over cricket as a pretty very good record and looks like he could be at some point could be a star player, but we obviously have to wait then see how he comes back from his injury and obviously we wish him all the well in that, all the best in that and see what you know, what kind of form he can build up and see if he can push for the team. So kind of I suppose between now and the end of the year, we've got this tour, Afghanistan coming over, and then we've got the Lanka Premier League, which is obviously the premier T20 tournament in world cricket, in franchise domestic cricket in the world, to come to take us all the way up to Christmas. And so loads more cricket still to come on Sri Lanka and 99.94. So do stay with us. I think, Estelle, we can probably leave it there because it was just a kind of update. Was our intent today of what's been going on, right?
Thank you for listening to Sri Lanka on 99.94, where we speak cricket every day. Please rate, review and subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcast and tell all your friends and family about us. You can download the 99.94 app and follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mark Machado and Estelle is at Estelle_Vazudev1, as in the number one. Never miss out. Join our 24/7 conversation on social media and follow us at 9994DM. Cricket every day, your way.
Ready to up your game and learn more about the thrilling world of sports betting? Introducing Double Down with Breslow, the ultimate podcast about the business of sports gambling. Join me, James Breslow, and a long list of expert guests as we dive into the art and science of the sports betting industry, evolving regulations, technology enhancements, and the meteoric rise in the number of players makes this sector the fastest growing and most intriguing in the world. Unlock the business secrets from many of the industry's most recognizable C-suite executives, including famous odds makers and influencers. Every episode of Double Down with Breslow is packed with insider tips, deeply skilled analysis, and in-depth discussions. Don't miss out on the ultimate resource for mastering the business of sports betting. Listen to Double Down with Breslow on the Evergreen Podcast Network or wherever you listen to podcasts. That's Double Down with Breslow, the business of sports betting podcast.